to the 119th Psalm, second to the last sermon in this series. You know, as long as continues, as long as the Lord lets us finish on time, that is the plan. So we'll have one more sermon after this one. But tonight our text is the 119th Psalm, verses 169 through 172. Once you found your place there in the 119th Psalm, verse 169, I would invite you to stand, if you're willing and able, as we give honor to the Word of God. The Bible says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." The title of the message this evening is Never Forget How to Cry. Never forget how to cry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that your hand would be upon just the message and the reading of your word, Lord. I pray that you would speak to hearts and that you'd be glorified in each and every mind, soul, and heart this evening. And we'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. There are a lot of different types of personalities. Some people, you know, it takes a real tear jerker of a book or a movie to get them, you know, to get to them where they got to pretend they have allergies or something. But there are those others, like my wife Michelle, who it can be a 5-second snip of a commercial, and she's like losing it. You know, there are some people who are just more prone to the emotional side of things, and you know, there's this history of machismo, and you know, real men don't cry, and you just a lot of all of that. There's a lot of different perspectives and a lot of different types of people when it comes to crying. I personally was much more sensitive as a child. I would cry at a lot of things, not just things that hurt, not just boo-boos, but actual like mature things to cry about, you know, like my sister my mom loves to tell the story. We were taking a walk around the block and my mom showed the hospital. She's like, that's where we were just last month. Your sister had to get a spinal tap there. She explained what a spinal tap was and big long needle and went into, and I just, the thought of that happening to my sister, and I just knelt right there at the curb and just started crying, and Mom just didn't know what to do about it. And, you know, she tells that story now because when, like, everyone else is in tears and I'm, like, not crying, she's, "What happened to you, Joel? What happened? You used to be so sweet, and now, you know, I don't know. I guess I cried all my tears before the age of 15, and now I'm..." But there are some... My brother, Micah, when he was up here, I mean, that is not the first time he has preached that sermon, "I am spiritual." I've heard it a couple times, and yet every time he preaches it, he the waterworks start to happening. You're like, "Well, is it real then?" Trust me, you have to know Micah, it's real. He just, anytime anything gets intense or the Word of God starts talking about his family, it doesn't matter, even in conversation. And it's really weird because most people, just the nerves kind of give that last little push to put it over the edge. But no, Micah in the middle of a conversation talking about, if you got to steer away from certain subjects, otherwise it gets real awkward. You know, and so there are just some people more prone to cry than others. No, that's not the crying we're talking about here, because we see here that David says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord." The thing is, I think we've lumped in this kind of crying out before the Lord in with I think there's two reasons why in this day and age and modern Christianity, why it's unpopular to cry. Not in the waterworks sense, but cry in the way that David intended it here. The first is because, yeah, we misunderstand. We think that, okay, to cry means to get emotional and just blubber, you know, and get the waterworks starting. And if you haven't prayed like that, then you're not, you know, you're not really spiritual. And we know that's not the case. And so we kind of think, well, okay, so it must mean something different. We don't really try to figure out. Should we pour our emotions out to God? Because we've all been there. We've also all seen that and had that friend or that we've seen that brother or sister in Christ who everything is a crisis and they cry over everything. And you say, well, that's obviously that's not what was intended either. It's not more spiritual when a person cries about everything versus when they don't. And so we just try not to deal with it because it's uncomfortable. And then secondly, as we kind of get into the meat of the word, the other reason why we have forgotten, by and large, as people of God, why we have forgotten to cry or forgotten how to cry is because we think that the cry of our heart is just, it's the beginning process, the beginning of the process towards getting to a mature relationship with Christ. Which, I mean, makes sense. Babies typically cry a whole lot more than adults. Now, why? Because babies don't know how to address what their needs are. The only thing they have is crying. And some babies are a lot more expressive than others. My brother was very encouraging to me. I was talking with him on the phone yesterday, and it came up that I mentioned that Michelle, her stomach tends to move a whole lot with this baby. So Melody is very active. We can see it now. And Micah, I was telling that to Micah, and Micah said, oh, wow, yeah, Edom was that way too. And trust me, when they come out, it's no different. They just, everything, she does everything more expressively, whether it's moving, whether it's, yeah, it's really great because they laugh a lot and it's really fun to watch them get expressive in that way. But typically with that also comes, if they don't get their way, they tend to express it also very, very audibly. And so he was encouraging me, like all good brothers do, that I have sleepless nights ahead of me. And but babies, they cry, some more than others, but they're going to cry because that's all they have. And so naturally, if we take that metaphor to its extreme, we think, okay, well, we ought to grow out of crying. We shouldn't cry for the same reasons as a baby Christian that we do today, but we should never forget how to cry. Of course, the cry here would mean, when David is saying, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord, give me understanding. See, we see there the motive behind the type of crying that that the psalmist is talking about here. When a baby cries, they're crying to express. And it is true that as we grow in our relationship with Christ, we shouldn't necessarily be fixated and stuck on crying out of an expression. You know, we should get away from the vagueness of Christianity. It's okay when someone's learning first how to pray for them to say, Lord, bless me. Amen. If that's all that they know how to do. I mean, it's the heart behind the prayer that matters. But over time, as they grow in Christ and Lord willing, as they read their Bible and learn more about their God, they're going to be able to articulate a little better. Maybe not even verbally, but just in spirit, in their mind, they're going to be able to give more clarity to their attitudes and pray more particularly and more specifically for the things that they have need of. So we do understand that in one sense, yes, there is a spiritual form of a baby cry and that does get eventually grown out of. But there are things that can happen to no matter what, no matter how mature somebody is or no matter how stone-hearted they are, circumstances can come into our life, and things can happen to grown adults to make them, okay, even if they don't actually cry, that overwhelming feeling that causes most people to cry can happen to anybody. And they can realize that, I don't know what to say, even. You know, it could come from a phone call. A loved one was taken from us, just like that. It could come from a financial situation. You thought the light was green. It doesn't matter. There are so many different scenarios that can happen, but in a twinkling of an eye, in an instant, you can have your whole your life changed. And as a result, you can have that feeling of overwhelming, of expressing. You don't know how to express what you're feeling other than to cry. So we should never forget how to cry. I mean, this is in Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul talks about this when he speaks about the Holy Spirit and what he does for us. He said, the Spirit itself helpeth in our infirmities when we know not what we should, how we should pray or what we should pray. But the Spirit itself making intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So we understand that we don't always know what to say. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we're being unbiblical or we're not mature enough in Christ. We need to figure out how to articulate. No, there are times when you just cry. You don't know what you even need. You don't know how the Lord can fix it, but you know He can. You don't know why the Lord's bringing you through this, but you know that He has brought you through it. And there's a reason for it. And so the cry of your heart then is felt and expressed by the Spirit of God. And that, I mean, it's proof that we should never, even in a spiritual babe sense, we should never forget how to cry unto the Lord. But we see here the primary reason that we should, on a regular basis, never forget how to cry is how to cry out for understanding. He said, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word." You see, the cry is not necessarily an infantile form of expression. Crying is simply expressing what I need, or the fact that I don't know what I need. A cry it can be a cry out for understanding. It's the reason behind the approach to God. The reason that we know, the way that we know that we need God is because of that feeling, that spiritual feeling that tells us, I do not understand. I don't know what's going on, but I do know that God is in control. And even as you grow in Christ, as you learn the what of your prayer life and the what of approaching God and even how to live in pleasing God, that does not mean we leave the cry behind. David, we're at the end of the 119th Psalm. He's concluded this. He's beginning to conclude this this conglomeration of psalms that the Lord has given to him, and he's concluding it. And he begins with, "Let my cry come near before thee." He talks about the cry, and the cry is the why behind coming to God. You don't come to God unless you have a reason to. And that reason may be mental, it may be circumstantial, it may be physical, but there's always a reason. There's something that puts you in mind that I need God at this moment. I need help beyond what I am able myself to do. The reason so many of us forget how to cry is because we get to verse 170, where it says, "Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word." See, this is the what. He's also approached God. He's approached him first. Before he ever approaches God, he recognizes, I have a why. Lord, I have a cry. I'm crying out to you. Give me understanding according to thy word. He wants the Lord to show him, why am I going through this? Why do I feel this way? Reveal my heart. Reveal the reasons behind why I am overwhelmed. And I love the answer here. He knows where to find the answer. He says, give me understanding according to thy word. And then as he moves into verse 170, he talks about the supplication. And what a supplication is, says, let my supplication come before thee. A supplication is a specific request. By everything through prayer and supplication. Be careful for nothing but everything through prayer and supplication. The difference between prayer and supplication is prayer is simply approaching and talking with God. A supplication is specifically asking for specific things that you know would fix this issue. You know, a prayer would be, Lord, speak to me from the service tonight. Or speak to me through the service tonight. A supplication would be, Lord, tell me exactly what you need me to do. Give me a plan. I want the specific reason. And I want the specifics that I need to do as a result. Give clarity through the message tonight. See, a prayer is it's the why. It's the, Lord, prepare my heart to receive something. The supplication is, Lord, teach me specifically what I need to do. And here we see in David, he begins it with a cry, and we would be forgiven, I believe, in many cases to assume that, okay, well, it begins with a cry, but then it moves towards supplication, which is really the mainstream view of how we approach God and how we develop our relationship with Him. That in the beginning of our Christian life, we say, Lord, yes, I don't know what I need, and I don't understand what I need to understand, but I know I need you, and we cry, and we would consider that a very spiritually immature, not necessarily in a bad way, but it's a beginning. It's a foundation, but we're supposed to move past that. It's a childish thing, but when I was old, I put away childish things. And we would assume that, okay, well, we're building on top of that, because many of the Psalms that he went through is a progressional. It's a progressional view of his relationship with God. But here we see no and. When there's a progression, there's always a conjunctional word that lets us know that this is what happens. Then will I praise thee. Then we know it's conditional. We know this is something that builds on top of the other. But this is, we see verse 169 and verse 170, they are meant to be parallel. Well, how do you know? Because they end with the exact same solution, according to thy word. What did we just learn about in verse number 160? Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. If you say something is according to thy word, it means it's not supposed to end. Nothing is according to the word of God that you, if it's according to his word, that you leave it behind for other things according to his word. No, every word of God is pure. Every word of God is true. And since he says the cry unto the Lord should give us understanding, should be the beginning of receiving understanding according to the word, there is never a time when we do not need the understanding according to the word of God. We will always need more understanding according to his word. And so we don't set that aside once we've learned how to pray more specifically. We don't set that aside when we really get to what the meat of the relationship of Jesus Christ, of a relationship with Jesus Christ really is. One of the most annoying things that the phrase is, and it's in a lot of bulletins, and it was really popular throughout the 90s. I visited a lot of different churches, and we'd see this. I'd see this in bulletins, or it'd be expressed from the pulpit that we would invite you to join in us as we sing to prepare our hearts for the sermon. That there was this popular thing that, oh, that's what the singing is about. It's in order to prepare our hearts for the Word of God. Now that does happen. It is a byproduct of singing unto the Lord. singing with grace in your hearts. It's the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. So it's very clear that the word of God and the singing praises unto God are related. But singing praises unto God is not just to prepare our hearts for the word of God. But I think we kind of do the same thing that we say, okay, well, we really would just want to get to the end. You see, as Americans, we're all into the instant gratification. You know, I don't care. You know, I was talking to a preacher a while ago, and he's trained a lot of different boys, preacher boys, that, you know, he's trying to turn them into preacher men. And one thing he does is he goes out, says, okay, once they arrive at his place, and he starts to train him, says, meet me at 8 o'clock. Out in the yard. And so 8 o'clock, meeting out in the yard, he hands him a pitch. He hands him a pick and a shovel, and says, "We're going to dig a hole. You know, we're going to put up a fence." And inevitably, he said, every single time, if it was a smart kid who kind of knew life, and you know, kind of. And they're all smart Alex before they meet him. But he constantly, every last one of them would say, well, I can, with the amount of time that we spent here, 3 days doing this, we could have gone and bought a tool, come and have had it done in 2 hours. And he said every single time, but it's not about that. Problem is, we've all forgotten how to work, and we've forgotten the joy of working, and forgotten the satisfaction that comes when you have put in your own blood, sweat, and tears. So yes, we're all looking for the easy way out. But that in and of itself is not the primary goal when it comes to the things of God. You know, it's not even the primary goal in the things. Who here is happier? I mean, you judge the happiness. The percentage of people who would consider themselves happy in America today. And I mean, if you specifically ask them, are you happier with an iPhone or without an iPhone? They might say, I'm happier with an iPhone. But if you ask them, okay, are we happier today than we were in the 80s, generally speaking? Are you happy? And no, the instant gratification, the ability to just pick up. You know, when we were younger, when we would sit around and we'd talk about something, if no one knew the answer, when I was younger, not everyone here, when some people, you've only ever known Google to solve the final answer. But no, there was a time when we sat around, and if no one knew the answer, then, and we only had 3 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica. We didn't have all the letters. So if the answer didn't fall within one of those letters, we just went without knowing, and we were okay. We survived. Or Dad made something up, and that was the truth, and it was good. And we all were better for it. You know, are we really better off today? Are we really happier because we have the ability to know the answer? I mean, I'm telling you, this idea of instant gratification has pervaded all of, not just American culture, it was everywhere. But it's affected our ability to walk with God as well. Because we think, oh no, well, we just need to get to the mature point we need to be up here with Christ. I don't need to read my Bible. I've read it 50 times in my life. I know what it says. I know the important parts. We'd say, I don't need to spend an hour in prayer every morning. I live in a spirit of praying without ceasing. You know, I don't know anybody here who would actually admit that, but or say, I'm not going to say that out loud, but that's kind of what it's like, if anything comes up, I know how to pray. I know who to pray to. So we get rid of these fundamentals, and likewise here, we don't see the purpose in crying unto God and just pouring our heart and soul out to Him because we know what to say. We know the answer to the problem because we know the Bible so well. We have the understanding, and upon that understanding, we have built the ability to bring our supplication before God. Because we have been in church our whole lives, some of us, or any length of time, we can get to the point where we say, well, I understand, based on the Word of God, that, okay, if I don't need to pray for this person to get saved. I just need to go out and witness to them more. Or I don't need to go and I don't need to pray for God to bless me financially. I need to go out and get another job. If a man does not work, you know, he shall not eat. You know, and we know all the Bible verses and we know all the answers. We say to ourselves, "Well, if somebody's struggling with lust, Bible says, flee fornication. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. You need to avoid it." And we have all the answers. We have all the biblical answers for every problem we might go to God with. And because we already know the answer based on the Word of God, we forget how to cry. And we think that we don't need to go to God anymore. Because we have the understanding that we need. But the problem is, if you have that kind of lifestyle, if you have that kind of relationship with God, then you miss out on verse 171. Where he says, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." You see, that the idea that thou hast taught me my statutes, it coordinates with verse 169 when he says, "Give me understanding according to thy word." Because what is the answer to understanding? What is the process of imparting understanding? Let's say if let's say JD, you know, at this point in time, he knows most of his 1 plus 1s, 1 plus 2s, 1 plus 3s. But you throw a tough one at him, like what's 17 plus 32? And he'll make something up and try to pass it off as the right answer, but he's going to get tripped up. But last year this time, you ask him what 2 plus 2 is, and he wouldn't have known the answer. What's changed in between now and then? Well, he's been taught. He's been taught. The Lord, in verse 171, says, the Bible says, "My lips shall utter praise when thou," speaking of the Lord, "hast taught me thy statutes." When God has taught you his statutes, it means he has imparted that understanding. Once you have the understanding, it should provoke in you more praise. And unless you are of the heart and the mind that you praise God 100% of the day, I dare say you have not arrived to complete understanding of the Word of God. There are still things. If there is a point in time where you arrive at there is an opportunity to learn a spiritual lesson, and you skip over it, and you say, "God's in control," and you throw, you don't understand the situation, but you still try to answer the situation, then you've gotten too big for your britches, spiritually speaking. You really have. That's what it comes down to. If you have gotten to the point where you say, I have all the understanding that I need, and all I need to do is ask the Lord to show me in his word what to do here. No, that's not the only thing that should drive you according to his word, is the supplication. You're skipping to the end. The cry before the Lord should also. In fact, every interaction we go in, that should be a primary push of going before the Lord. It's not just what we need to do, but why. Why do we need to go before the Lord? Why? Because that overwhelming feeling that you get, or those groanings that cannot be uttered by the Spirit, that's the cry of your heart. That's the cry that is the reason behind why you go to God. You can know all the answers, but if you've forgotten why, then it's only a matter of time before you burn out. How many people have you met once upon a time they loved what they did? They loved their profession. But over time, they forgot why they loved their profession. They got better at it. They knew the what. They knew all the answers. They were very good at their job. But they did not enjoy their job anymore. Why? Exactly. They forgot why they did. When I was a kid, in high school, I loved to just gaze at the stars. You know, and I even went to astronomy class. I picked it as an elective so I could go through that and learn about the stars. Because, and the reason I chose to do that is because of between my junior and senior year, we went to on a family trip. Yeah, my junior and senior year went on a family trip to Egypt. Took us out to the middle of the Sahara Desert at night. And he said, okay. And just, it was really weird. We didn't know what was going on. He kind of just put us all in a big circle around, you know, and we thought it was going to be some kind of, you know, show or something. And he said, okay, everybody ready? And they just said, look up. That's all he said. And we all looked up, and it was the most beautiful starry night I've ever seen. Like, it's one of the premier places for no light pollution, clear skies. We were able to see that there hadn't been wind or dust storms in a good while. It was the right time of year. Looked up. I mean, I did not realize the Milky Way was that obvious. I remember that, and I just, in that moment of wonder, I held on to that moment for such a very long time. So whenever anybody asks me, why do you care about the stars? Because let me tell you, it's the wonder of God. If you've never just stepped back and seen, then you can't possibly understand. And I know there were several people in the class there with me, and you know, they were interested in it, but then they slowly lost interest in astronomy. I actually talked to some of my high school, you know, teachers, and to me, I still, to this day, though I don't have a telescope, because they're expensive, it's a real expensive hobby, and to me, the whole point is to go out and look at the sky. But anytime we're at a place going, traveling between roads, and we're at a good time at night, and there's a clear sky, Michelle will catch me every now and then, and you know, sometimes she'll be napping, and then I'll hit the rumble strip, and she's like, what's going on? And sure enough, I'm like trying to look through this moon roof or something, and just because it's a beautiful moon out, there's a beautiful sky. I love it. And the reason I enjoy learning the planet names, and J.D. has a little projector I've talked about that shows them all, and I give them the names, and Michelle's like every time, it makes me sick how well you were. I don't just remember those names. I care about them because of the wonder of it, because of the why. Because I've never forgotten why. I love that. Never forgotten that memory. If you forget how to cry spiritually out to God, then it means you've forgotten the why. You may know what to do. You may know all the answers according to His word. But if you have not received the understanding that comes from you crying out unto the Lord, why, God? Help me to understand why. We should never forget that even though you may know the answer, you need to go to God. You need to cry out, because it reminds you that He's in control and you are not. And if you forget that, and we're all at danger of doing so, but if you ever forget why you need God, it's only a matter of time before you've convinced yourself that you don't need Him. The only way that your lips shall utter praise is as you continue to receive the understanding that comes when God answers your cry. Sure, you can be grateful for what God has done. You can be appreciative of His word. But you will not utter praise until your cry has been answered by an almighty God. Does that mean we shouldn't give our supplication? No, you look at 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. That's getting more into the specifics of it. It's important to bring your supplications before God. It's important to know the what. Because that's how you will speak His word. That's how you're going to understand that all His commandments are righteousness. You're not going to know that until you've proven His word over a long period of time. They are both so important. But as independent Baptists, we rarely forget, oh, this has all the answers. We rarely forget what to say. We rarely forget what to do. What we are most in danger of forgetting is the why. because it's hard to admit that we need to cry. That even with all the answers God has given us, we still need to cry because our Father is in control and we need Him. No matter how mature in Christ we get, we are still so very unable to do this on our own. And let every man think, take heed. Every man who thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. We've been warned over and over again in Scripture, because those who are closest to the Word of God most easily forget to cry to the author of the Word of God. So, a question for you then. I hope that you have learned a lot about the Word of God. I hope you have a lot of understanding. I hope you've grown in spiritual wisdom. A church has been around this long. It should be. There should be a lot of understanding. But when was the last time that you truly cried out to the Lord? When was the last time you sang to Him from a heart of praise just because He's good and He is God? And you are overwhelmed that He would choose to have anything to do with you. When was the last time that you just said, Lord, I'm not just thankful for what you've given to me. I'm thankful that I haven't forgotten why I need you. Oh, that the Lord would keep us humble. We would never graduate past the point of David. See, David, a man after God's own heart, never forgot how to cry. So what makes us think that we'll do any better if we leave that part behind? Let's all stand to our feet and bow our heads.